Hello and welcome to another episode of LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard, and I'm happy to be joined by the one and only, the original co-host, Josh Olswich. How's it going, man?
Going good, Brian. It's good. Every time you say my name right, I'm always shocked. It's just like,
Who is this guy with pronunciations?
Exactly. It's great.
So what have you been up to? It's been a few weeks since we've chatted.
Oh, man, just going long.
Going long on Bitcoin?
Just juggling some knives terribly, pretty much. Trading a little more stocks and FX. I think generally more people are. Just as the market goes sideways, no trade is the best trade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're one of these people who's like super like bearish from the top, like stay bearish, whatever. I don't care, but that's just not me.
You mean bearish for the top as in like we have a long downtrend ahead?
No. Like if you were bearish from the top, like. We'll talk about it later. All the TA that I'm looking at is just completely bearish continuation right now. So,
we will talk about that soon. Yeah, before we get into state of the market type of stuff, since that's usually what we talk about, we're going to start today with, I guess it's mostly exchange news. So three different exchanges that we have in our list have had some stuff going on. Let's get the least, I guess, interesting to talk about out of the way first. This is more of a relief news, which is that Bittrex finally has a beta out for their new exchange interface after they've become the non-dominant exchange. So have you tried this out yet?
I haven't. Like, to other people, it's obviously super important, but I try to just
But use... you hate alts.
I don't hate alts. I hate alts, yes, but that and the exchange interfaces are just such, I try to just use them as little as possible. Mm-hmm. So they can be complete garbage. I don't even care. Like, I just buy and then either leave it on the exchange or move it off. And then I sell whenever I want later. Like, I don't think about it. I rarely log into any of this stuff. I don't know. Like people like you, I bet love the interface. But
yeah, for me, it's really nice to have something new because it was previously quite poor on desktop and would not perform if the website was high traffic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But more importantly for me, because you know there are times where you have a super volatile altcoin. You might need to make a trade, an adjustment, whether it's, you know, trying to buy some kind of wick on the downside or selling a huge pump where you log in on your phone. And Bittrex was so hard to use from a phone. And actually, I logged into this first from a phone. So it was nice to check it out there. It's pretty good, actually. It looks like a real exchange, you know. It was really, really bad before. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see it. This has been in the works for a while, but they've lost so much trading volume cap to Binance. Like it's just as severe, maybe more severe as the transition, I guess, was from Poloniex to Bittrex. And that volume just went straight to Binance. Even some of the most loyal Bittrex folks are now on Binance, and the liquidity on Binance is so much better in terms of being able to make a trade without slippage or whatever, even for small values, you know, on Bittrex, you might have a relatively small value that has to sit on the books forever before you can get rid of it. Unless you just mark it by like the first four or five rows of the asks or the bids, whichever side. Mm-hmm. So maybe this will bring some people back. The other worthwhile to mention component of this is if you look at it, not logged in, then they have registration marketing on there. So maybe that means that they will, they'll have, you know, registrations finally open up. I don't know if it matters anymore. Because, you know, I don't think people are trying to break down the doors of altcoin exchanges right now. But nevertheless, they're opening it up and they're supposed to have, dollar pairs coming up soon. So yeah, it's possible that is going to coincide with this some. I hope so. I think exchanges being more professional is a good thing for crypto to have reputable places to go buy this stuff and not feel like it's completely ridiculous what you have to do to buy Bitcoin and altcoins.
Yeah. So a few things. The mobile trading is just generally a bad idea for everybody. Like, I think...
Oh, yeah. I'm not telling people that they should do what I do. Right.
I know. But like, it's just a recipe for disaster in general. There's this thing where like learning the interface is going to cost you money, period. Like you're going to lose money trying to figure out interfaces. And the more you're trying to figure out these interfaces, the more money you're just going to lose from stupid mistakes that you just, you know, you're closing out stuff or you're buying stuff and blah, blah, blah. Like not everyone's going to make the same mistake, but everyone's going to make some mistake somewhere. So
yeah,
I just and avoid.
This goes into however, you know, however long you've been doing stuff. Yeah. I was just telling you before the call, like, you know, you've been trading some stocks. I've been trading some stocks, and I know we've both been using one broker a little bit. And I went short on gold and screwed up with their interface, and it closed on me as soon as it opened because I guess I missed the warning because I tried to use this super tight stop because gold was actually running really hard, and I thought I was going to catch a top wick, and I set the stop inside the spread because they maintain a pretty good spread to keep their profits. And it instantly closed on me, and I got salty about it and didn't reopen. And then it tanked, and I would have made really good money. So I'm pissed about it. But you know, it's easy to make those mistakes on any platform.
Yeah, and between FX and alts, like I've lost money just putting zeros in the wrong place and not understanding like how many decimals the exchange goes to or whatever. So there's that issue too, which is why as a visual person like myself, like trading on the actual chart is always the best option. So like the MT3, MT4, which is like built for DOS, like it's the UI UX is just complete trash, but you're at least able to like move the lines on the chart, like as a horizontal buy sell orders. So anything that can use that type of interface to me is always better just because I can see where it is on the chart itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad, you know, they've done something to improve things, and hopefully that is good for them. I mean,
it's anyway. Good. Any maturation on anything anywhere is good for everybody because it just, like this Binance news, it just is this like pressure, this adaptation pressure, pushing all these exchanges to become more professional, to cater better to customers. You know, exchange competition is better for customers, period. You know, the fact that we have options that we can just float between Polo, Bittrex, Binance, whatever, is obviously a boon to people who were stuck on Cripsy or Polo back in the day and had nowhere to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I think Binance has its own problems that are separate from other exchanges, but...
Yeah, so let's get to the Binance news. So they are a centralized exchange, and they came out with this announcement that they are essentially going to create a whole Binance chain. They already have the BNB Binance token, but they're creating the Binance chain, and they want to essentially establish a whole protocol, I guess, for being a decentralized exchange and a crypto community of sorts. Did you read much into it?
I heard about it, but I'm just so... averse to Binance. Like I just write it off completely.
So why are you averse to Binance in the first place?
Well, my big thing with these altcoin exchanges is there's just too many coins listed. There's too many ERC-20 tokens listed. So they all have this pump and dump mentality where it's like if they get attention and news, they all just FOMO, froth over. There's a ton of liquidity all of a sudden, and then there's just nothing after it gets sold off. That's just my opinion. Does that mean you can't make a crap ton of money off this stuff? No, but it's just that's not the trading I want to. I want to trade like that. I don't do well in that scenario.
Have you ever tried Binance?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I've pretty much tried every exchange. I need to go back to it. I mean, obviously the fiat pair gateway thing is going to be massive, and we talked about this last year or like going into this year. Circle, Cash App, all these other ones, Robinhood, which I don't think they're actually holding the coins themselves, but just the fact that there's a fiat gateway for anything is going to be massive. Coinbase.
Well, Binance is saying that they believe centralized and decentralized exchanges will coexist. And with their chain, they want to bring performance, ease of use, and liquidity to the table. And that the Binance coin will kind of evolve from being a coin catered for their platform to being a coin for all of those purposes. So I'll be curious to see how that goes. You know, I want to give Binance credit, I guess, to a degree, because when they've had various issues come up, and they have a lot of attacks on them because there is so much volume there right now. I've been really impressed with CZ, the CEO of Binance, with just his communications and his openness, which has been my biggest critique of other exchanges. Like when you're looking for trying to find out what is an exchange doing or what's happening with some scenario, like he is pretty much on top of whatever comes out with them within like an hour. So if there was a rumor about them being hacked, which they weren't hacked, but it was a phishing scam that affected users, I mean, they were on that so quickly. And there was another time where they had that backup issue and their site was down and they like wrote custom software really fast to speed up the backup process and limit the downtime. Like, and they communicated all of that as they went. So I'm just impressed with them to that degree. Mm-hmm. I think culturally, maybe there are some differences between what they find acceptable for trading assets and listing coins and whatnot versus what, say, the United States government might find to be appropriate. So in that realm, I think I agree with you because they're not near as conservative. Like, I doubt they're doing a lot of like audits on whether something is a security token, because I'm sure they have plenty of security tokens on their exchange. So I don't know if they're going to work with the US government at all, or if they're just waiting to be forgiven, or what that situation is. That's probably the biggest fear that I have, is like, say some United States entity goes and tells them, hey, you can't operate for American citizens or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too concerned, just because that's just an inevitability, I think. Yeah. They're going to come down. I don't know like what the extradition thing is in Malta or whatever, wherever they're moving. But
yeah, they're moving to Malta.
The long arm of the law will find them eventually.
Yeah. So
I don't know how the U.S. government would shut them down as far as the exchange
itself. I'm sure they wouldn't shut them down, but they can do like... you know, like Bitfinex did, and Bitfinex is no longer available to Americans, which is a bummer. Yeah. But they're doing things that other exchanges just aren't doing, no matter the exchange. Like GDAX isn't even close to them on some of this stuff, which it, like, for instance, they just released a Mac client, and you know, that's the only desktop client that I know of in the crypto space that's available, and stuff like that's pretty nice as someone that's, if you're trading alts fairly frequently.
And going back to CZ, like he's got this huge ball of momentum, just rolling this monster train, right? With 7 million users in 100 days or something.
Yeah. And that was this referral program that was hugely popular.
Yeah. Just the fact that it's literally just taken over everything. Besides that, but just like the number of users who have said, you know, screw Polo and Bittrex, whatever, instead of resting on their laurels and just collecting that billions of dollars a day in fees, they're reinvesting and doing stuff with it, which is what GDAX, Coinbase, Polo, Bittrex didn't really do. I mean, they did it to some extent, but clearly when you're seeing Coinbase behind the curve on all of these issues like SegWit and whatever else, like there's a problem there, whether it's like lack of people who want to work for Coinbase, lack of incentives for people to work at Coinbase, you know, whatever. But Binance is doing something, you know, they're getting stuff done, like you said. So
yeah,
hats off to them.
Certainly different talent pools, and obviously Binance is recruiting people to do good work. So, and they're making hand over fists while they're at it.
Yeah. The other thing to know about CZ is he was basically the pioneer at OKCoin for... not washing volume, but definitely inflated or fake volume.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can Google that for people who are unaware, but
yeah,
it's definitely a thing. So I don't know. Like, obviously, he's doing the right thing. I don't want to like crap all over the guy or anything, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've had these these runs on certain coins. Like Storm had, and not actually 90% of the volume wasn't even on Binance. It was on Upbit. Because Storm got listed on Upbit, I think Korean exchange, and it just caused this pump, like you were talking about. This is how they're focused. And then it had like, I think I was amazed it was hitting 1 billion, and I think it ended up with maybe like 2 billion in volume in 24 hours. And the liquidity all the way down to the 1 minute chart was just out of this world. Like, it was so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, trading Storm on the 1 minute chart, the 1 minute chart looked better than like Forex.com's oil chart. You know, like, it was so good. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually been doing some trading on like 1 and 3 and 5 minute charts with mm-hmm. a couple of the high volume Binance coins. After this, the next news item with the ERC-20 tokens on Coinbase, like ZRX and BAT and a couple others that are like top Coinbase candidates for ERC-20 tokens, they just blew up, and, you know, tons of volume hit, and the liquidity was great on those, and, you know, it was worth trading on those small time frames. So it was pretty fun, and Binance is making that possible, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But in that Storm scenario, Binance had like 300 million of the 2 billion, and Upbit had like $1.5 billion worth of that volume. It was crazy. So I don't know literally nothing about Upbit. I can't
trust that just on face value alone. What did Storm do besides being listed on an exchange? Nothing, right? There was no
announcement. Yeah, it was just the people wanted a pump, and a pump they got. I don't really know what starts those, but every now and then you see these, and, you know, I totally agree with what you're saying. Like, there's something sketchy about the way those begin, and they have lasting effects too, because then you create this big swell in price and it just looks ridiculous, and then it's on the chart forever, you know. So there's consequences, but if you're available and you can trade them, then they might be worthwhile. So if you're into
that, you make money, go for it. Just not, you know, it's basically rolling the dice the way I see it. You have to be in. You would have to be in and out in the middle of that, or in before it happens. So whatever.
Yeah, that's right. So this last item, how many lawyers do you think looked over this blog post?
Hopefully 10, but I don't know. Doesn't seem like it. It seems like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, because they're the securities thing's a huge issue, but go ahead.
Yeah. So Coinbase wrote a blog post on the topic of adding ERC-20 or Ethereum tokens support to Coinbase. And they also talked a little bit about the difference between listing tokens on GDAX and Coinbase. You got a custom tweet from the Coinbase account. What did that say?
They pointed me to their other post on the 13th or something, that it'll show up on the API basically first before it'll get listed.
Yeah, so they have new policies, I guess, because of the Bcash drama, which we covered in a previous episode about listing that out of nowhere, and it caused all sorts of like insider trading accusations and all these other things. So then they came out with these policies on how they're going to add new assets for Coinbase and GDAX, and people will know ahead of time, be able to build up the books, all that kind of stuff. And so they pointed you to that because you were trolling and saying on Twitter.
No, I wasn't trolling. I was being serious. That's the scary part. Like, they literally added it 7:30 on Eastern on a Thursday or whatever it was, gave zero notice. Like, I don't think that'll ever happen again, simply because people don't have like these random altcoins and a fork just sitting theoretically on Coinbase, you know. Like, I think that was a very special case in that instance. Like, it was obviously handled wrong. We've talked about this several times already, but I don't think that'll happen again unless it's a fork, which there have been 16 others. So it'll be interesting to see if any of that like goes to like litigation. People not getting their forked coins or whatever.
Yeah, but your tweet was a joke about Coinbase.
Well, there's that tweet, but the other tweet.
Is this not the one they responded to?
No, they responded to another one, but that one was just saying like they say one thing and do another. So obviously XRP isn't a ERC-20 token, but that's just like the
it's a total could do scenario,
right? Like just I don't know, I can just see that happening. Not that XRP will ever get listed, but I think like them again talking about like exchanges and adaptations. The ERC-20 news came after Binance announced the fiat gateway thing, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, so, they got to be feeling a little heat from a place like Binance too, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been in the works. The ERC-20 thing's been in the works since last year. So clearly they've been working on that to some degree. But yeah, that was the one.
But I don't think it's a coincidence that other exchanges are making changes and or moves. You know, we're seeing Polo get acquired. We're seeing Coinbase, you know, at least roll the ball a little bit on some of this stuff. Finally, we're seeing Bittrex release their stuff, and it's got to be at least to a degree, a competitive thing on seeing Binance take over the world and these guys realizing that there's not like loyalty just because people used to trade there doesn't mean they won't move, you know?
Mm-hmm. There should be loyalty to an exchange, like in my opinion.
Yeah. And GDAX's volume isn't that good, you know?
No, like, it's not.
And that's an important thing for if you're saying, hey, we're going to bring on the big money, but then you go look at a chart and the liquidity is garbage and somebody can move the price with their whatever 25 Bitcoin order, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's Bitstamp. That's a big deal. So
Bitstamp's been written off for years just because the liquidity is trash. The books are trash. Like we said, like 20 coins will move the book like $200 or something. It's just silly. Like nobody can trade there realistically.
And much less now you create you're trying to also be a basis then for like futures products at CME or something. Like that's not going to fly. So these centralized exchanges, they have to maintain and create liquidity. So if they can't keep users or if they shrug off feedback or all this other stuff, then they're not going to keep it. So it looks like they're responding to that because right now the momentum and all of the trading energy is at Binance. Like there's people that have been putting off Binance and they finally moved and they're like, holy crap, this is like a whole different world than what I was experienced with on Bittrex or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Litecoin, like the Litecoin chart on GDAX is garbage. You know, I've been looking at that one recently because I've had an open short on LTC, and you know, if you look at the low time frame Litecoin chart, it's just gross. You know, like this looks like any old altcoin on Bittrex, not what you would think of a low time frame chart looking like on GDAX, which is supposedly the gold standard of crypto exchanges, you know?
Well, nobody trades the pairs. That's the thing. Like more people trade the USD pairs than the crypto, you know, LTC, BTC, ETC, ETH, BTC, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. The USD one does look a little bit better, but I trade the pair. I trade the BTC pair.
Yeah. I trade the pairs when it's advantageous to do so, but the volume is definitely way less than like Polo even on those spheres.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's our third bit of news. ERC-20 tokens at Coinbase, which probably means, like you joked, a non-ERC-20 token will be their next listing.
Yeah, who knows? I just think
we don't have any idea.
It's just so all over the place. Yeah. Whatever.
Are you thinking about any other issues in the community before we get into price action stuff that's on your mind?
I'm just excited for ETH FinEx, even though I probably won't trade there. Just like, again, seeing all this exchange pressure on each other for once, it's just going to be massive. It's going to be so massive. It's going to transform everything. I think the DEX explosion, even though they're all going to be like garbage, low liquidity, there's going to be something good that comes out of it.
Yeah. You would certainly
sort of evolutionary pressures, you know?
Yeah, you would certainly think that that's at least possible that we'll see some advantages there. Well, let's dig into price action, and we can talk, I guess, in relation to both Bitcoin and other stuff. What's the biggest thing on your mind, I guess? What are you looking at from a trading perspective?
So for Bitcoin, it's kind of bound to the big triangle, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The other things that I'm looking at are cloud signals, which are straight bear. Cloud kind of takes a back seat when there's patterns. And I'm going to say that this is a triangle pattern thing. Because obviously that bearish TK cross below the cloud is, you have the FX cloud on, but it's as bearish as it gets. So cloud in no way, shape or form is saying take a long anywhere in this zone.
So that. Actually this was not only meeting all criteria of bearishness, but then there was a TK cross in the bullish direction that was then recrossed in the bearish direction. Mm-hmm. And when that happens on the other end of the spectrum, that's when you get pretty excited, right? So on the inverse, this is like super uh-oh territory, huh?
Yeah, we had two key June bounces and several bearish TK crosses now. So that isn't good. If it was in a vacuum, you would be selling or short, clearly. However, just based on the 5 years, whatever it is, 3 years, still got a chance. The other thing is the 5200 cross that will probably cross bearish, which people are going back and forth on whether or not that's significant. I think it's significant. There's going to be a ton of articles when it happens. So everybody's going to be aware of it.
Yeah. And not even on the, not just on the daily, but the 3 day is all bear right now. And the weekly price, I don't even, I'm on BitMEX's chart because it's got a lot of volume, but the weekly, I don't even remember the last time it was in a scenario like this where we spent,
it's never been
two, since three, four, the beginning. Five, six, seven, eight, nine. This is our ninth week, not maintaining the Kijun in any way on the weekly cloud. So that's all bad.
Back last year, I was talking about weekly, I was saying like if we dip below the Kijun, just because there's so much space between the cloud and the Kijun on the weekly, that it's going to get really sloppy because there's no hard supports there, which is why you kind of have to look at lower time frames at that point or just use another indicator. So like the 2 day, go ahead.
No, that's fine. What were you going to say about the 2 day?
It's kind of like me moving the goalposts every so often, but the 2 day is, if anything, shows the potential for this reversing to 13K eventually. So the longer we stay sideways, the better, because then it gives us a chance to pull up towards the mean, which is just 50% of the extreme high and low, basically.
Yeah, and pretty much any time frame you look at, there are these flat targets that are starting to be created the longer that we kind of range. Not that we're ranging. I mean, we are ranging, but it's on a, we're ranging on a wide range. Within this 7 to 10,000 zone, I mean, the weekly Kijun, the 3 day cloud, all these things, they're all kind of telling the same story that if we're going to bounce, then we're going to look between 10 and 13K as like a target and break above that. Then we can go be on a bull trend, and otherwise that's our epic bull trap. The mapping of the 2014 bull trap that I think was at like $800 or whatever it was that I've seen people point at. Do you think if we break this pennant, so this down the uptrend, you can draw it from a lot of places, but I've basically drawn it back to the beginning of 2017, like March or so. There's a touch point. But I, more than that, I lined it up on where we wicked to on these two most recent lows, and now we're touching it a third time. So that's kind of where I've drawn my line. If we break down from this, which would be confirmed now if you really get like into the 7,500 range or below, Does that mean anything imminent to you, or could it be traps before we do a bull trap? Like, what kind of conspiracy theories do you have on what kind of craziness? Or can we just like go sideways straight out of this pennant?
Well, I don't think we make 3-4 high or lows and then just like chill out, which is like the same thing with lower highs. Like as it squeezes and coils or whatever you want to call it, eventually there's going to be a big move one way or the other. Obviously, it doesn't help as a trader, but you just trade the breakout at that point. I don't think there's going to be too many fakeouts after this resolves.
After the pennant resolves in some way?
Yeah, I mean, we could get another month of sideways. We'll see. But if you go to the two-day cloud on and look in like April, May, it's all thin. Mm-hmm. So if anything, there's an opportunity there, just like there was in the daily a few weeks ago for a push through that area, which is, it's just super optimistic, but it's not impossible based on what I'm seeing. Yep. That's only predicated on like breaking up from that triangle. If we break down, I think it's 3K easy. I don't think it happens. 3K, yeah. May or may not happen like over the course of a week. The quicker it happens, the better. The slow bleeds are the worst, but
3K is a serious tier zone. Like one of the big things to me that gives a good case for, you know, like sub 5K is just how many people would probably be taken out of the market doing that. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say that, but that's what markets do. The number of people that would essentially exit everything would be really high. I think there's also a chance at that kind of 4,900 level, 4,800 to 5,000. Surely there'd be buyers there to catch a lower low off of whatever we hit last time, 5,900. But maybe it's not a big enough difference like you're talking about. There's certainly a gap between 3K and 5K. If it can't sustain that 4,800 to 5K range, 3K would be the next logical step. So that's a huge drawdown. That's like, what is that? 3,000 over 20,000? That's a 85% drawdown.
Basically erases paper gains for anybody who didn't exit from last year.
Yeah.
After whatever it was, October, November, I don't know.
And maybe better than that if for people that had exposure to altcoins, because altcoins probably won't do very well versus the dollar if Bitcoin is going to 3,000. In fact, I'm fairly comfortable saying even if there's a random, you know, Bitcoin relative pumps and spikes, I think altcoins will get absolutely demolished in a soul-crushing way if Bitcoin goes all the way to 3,000. The altcoin winter would be something to behold. Mm-hmm. We'd see gravestones. Yeah. We'd see lots of gravestones, I think.
I think it's going to be a big move either way. So again, it doesn't like help from a predictive standpoint, but it gives you an idea, at least in my mind, of if we survive this, I think it's super moon potential all-time high retest.
You mean if we survive this pennant, basically?
Yeah. It doesn't look like...
If we don't create a whole brand new nasty bear market, big bull type of scenario.
Right. I mean, it doesn't look probable that we do survive, but if we do, it's going to be huge.
Yeah,
I don't really know how to read this, which is why we're trading stocks and Forex right now and not really trading crypto too much.
Yeah, I mentioned the other day on the weekly chart. I mean, I don't see this very often, but we're seeing from an RSI standpoint, technically it's below 50, but really we're hovering like right at 50. Mm-hmm. On this pennant, we're basically right in the middle between the multi-month downtrend and the year-long uptrend. And while our cloud signals and whatnot are bearish, I think the sentiment is bearish. On the whole, this is extremely uncertain of a market. Like, it's probably the most undecided market I've personally seen, where literally no one has any idea what's going to happen. Whereas I feel, and it, but it's not ranging either. It's not ranging pointlessly. It's downtrending. Mm-hmm. The question is whether this downtrend will overpower what has been an enormous uptrend. And it's been fascinating to watch. It's not great for my dollar value on my portfolio, because I've still been exposed to the market. Like you said, I've not been seeking out like tons of altcoin trading opportunities just because I haven't seen that as a big opportunity. But I've still tried to maintain exposure to Bitcoin and do some trading, like for scalps and or whatnot, whatever I can find. Tough market out there though. Definitely an indecision point. Certainly the biggest I've seen. Is it the biggest indecision point you've seen? Because you lived through a bear market before. What did the downside and the turn look like for you back then?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know then what I know now as far as trading. So I was mainly just DCAing in all the way down. So I kind of was like oblivious to market structure and the trend and cloud. Like I was just starting to learn about all that stuff. I just remember like the absolute brutality of waking up every day being lower and lower and lower. And then when it just dumped to like below 200, it's just, not a good sign.
When it finally finished, did it feel like a completion, or what was the emotional process?
Well, it dumped mega hard that one day, and then it recovered slowly and then broke that horizontal level. And then just went range bound again in that descending triangle. I don't remember being too like sad about it, because I was just so bullish on the fundamentals. It's like I am now, like I can't not be bullish on fundamentals when we're getting all this stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely, it's been interesting because I've not been more fundamentally bullish than I am now on Bitcoin. I was way more uncertain about Bitcoin in mid 2017. Like the fork stuff was a lot more confusing to me at the time and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, to me, Bitcoin has got so much going for it, and the crypto space has got so much better adoption in terms of mainstream awareness and, you know, conversations happening. And while we may have regulatory questions and whatnot, but just the fact of like having Congress talking about Bitcoin, it's like that's got to be bullish to me. Like they're not out, most of them aren't outright saying like, oh, let's ban it. You know, there's a lot of people that are excited about it. You shared this too. What's the guy's name that was the Coin Center guy that went and presented in front of Congress along with other people?
Oh, Peter Van Valkenburg.
Yeah.
PVB.
Yeah. So he and others presented in front of Congress. Did you have any big takeaways from that, I guess?
It just continued mildly optimistic regulatory news. Just the fact that there's somebody there who's in the know, able to talk to them about things is just really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think most people in Congress, their responses to that were pretty good.
Yeah. There's a few that were negative,
It was so obviously the ridiculous comment in the room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I'm looking at was that's the zone you have circled there. Mm-hmm.
This is the depths of the 2015 area for right. People that are listening.
If you take those candles and like bring them up to the 10K zone that we're at now, mm-hmm. I sent it to you on Telegram, but we could just see like an extended like reaccumulation thing, mm-hmm. depending on how you want to read the Wyckoff, whether it's distribution or reaccumulation.
From whichever level, like whether that's 8K or 4K, right?
What do you mean?
Like that we could do this reaccumulation even at current levels, you mean? Or you think
it'll happen? So we could just go sideways out, like continue retesting these 10K area until we break it.
I'd be fine with that. Yeah. The only thing I don't want to see, and this is the most bearish thing I can say, because I don't, it's like I'm, it's the only one that truly worries me in the financial sense. Not that it's not like it'd be the end of the world, but it's a bummer to see it in your account, you know, which is like, okay, Bitcoin's like well below 5,000 or whatever, and basically give up all of 2017. 2017 is just off the map. To me, that's the most painful scenario. And that's what makes me think that it's so possible, because it's so painful. Like, somebody has to want that, you know, that really drives people out of the market.
Yeah, I mean, we're clearly not trending super bullish right now. Obviously, we're talking about bearish TA nonstop here. So
it's been quite the ride since our first episode, when, you know, we log on and then we log off and Bitcoin was $1,000 higher, $2,000 higher, breaking all-time highs, gapping up.
The other thing we're not talking about is taxes, whether or not that has influence or not. I think it has some influence. We'll see after April what the exact influence was.
Yeah.
I think basically if we're gonna run up, we have to do it before September, because that's when the Gox stuff gets released again. At least there's a meeting in court, whether or not they are paying people back or whatever, but it's a supply shock to some degree.
Right.
After September.
From the tax perspective, there's been just an unbelievable amount of lack of awareness, I guess, for Americans in terms of what their tax obligations are. Mm-hmm. And even people that have been in the system for a long time, the gains were nothing like they were in 2017. So it became more significant, where you basically can't ignore reporting. But there's been these issues about what's taxable. And I think a lot of people became more informed over as they talked to their accountants, that crypto to crypto transactions have been taxable by most people's standards. We're not advising you on, this is not financial advice or accounting advice for sure, but I'm paying taxes on transactions made, you know, profits made even crypto to crypto, not just cashing out back to the dollar or whatever. And so your theory is that people are essentially cashing out to be able to pay those taxes, right?
Right. Like, I don't know what my tax burden is yet, because I haven't calculated that. But
yeah,
I certainly don't have enough money in the bank to just cash laying around to pay like a 20 to 50 grand tax bill. You know, that
right.
I would have to cash out Bitcoin at that point. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Right.
But, you know, if there are enough people cashing out enough, if, like me, I don't know. But, you know, Ethereum had even grosser gains last year, right? Like percentage-wise.
Yeah, Ethereum's were, I mean, and lots of altcoins were just absolutely disgusting. And you look at them relative to the dollar especially, but, you know, they were outperforming Bitcoin, and Bitcoin 17x or whatever. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are people that made 100x altcoin positions, and that, you know, they're owing taxes if they sold those in 2017. Now, the nastiest scenario, this is like the ultimate sad scenario, is if you realized gains in 2017 and then you kept all that in the market and then you lost a lot of it after January or whatever, so in February and the big dump, you could have a, say, a 30% tax obligation. Let's say it's $1 million. Okay. That's not mine, but let's say you made $1 million and you have a 30% tax obligation, but you didn't take that money out of the market as soon as you sold it. And then you lost early 2018. So now you don't have that $300,000 because your whole account is only worth $300,000 or $400,000. Now, just to pay your tax obligation for 2017, you have to give up the remainder of your portfolio just to pay your taxes. So now you have $0.
Right. Yeah.
That is a sad situation. And people are in that. There are definitely people in that situation.
Yeah. And there are a lot of scenarios where if a group of people puts in $2,000 and there's some exchanges in between, they end up owing 5x that original amount. So like they'll own $10,000 on $2,000 in the system, you know, so that's it's a net negative on the network or whatever.
I don't understand how that works.
like if two people put in a grand and then they trade it between Ethereum and Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin goes up a certain amount, Ethereum goes up a certain amount, like they have to pay the capital gains on that if they sell, right?
I'm still not following.
Basically, you're only putting in 1,000, but you're having to pay 10,000 in capital gains.
Oh, I see. So if you, whatever, 30x.
Right.
So, yeah. So you still pay based on the gains.
Right.
But
right,
then if you end up losing all that, but you realize those gains. And now if you lose it in the same year, it's one thing. But that's the viciousness of when the top happened was essentially if you were realizing gains in 2017 and then you were having to pay on those in 2018 after it went down, that's when you get double destroyed. So
right,
it's pretty gross, but that's reality for lots of folks. So
it is. Let's talk about some alts.
Yeah. Let's talk about alts. There's been life in some alts.
I hesitate to say alts are back. I don't really think they are.
No, I don't either.
But we're seeing so many random pumps like Storm, and it's funny, like even ZRX and BAT, how they just exploded on that news. I don't really know what else did. I know EOS even pumped like 2x from the bottom the other day.
Yeah. I don't quite know what to call these because they're relief rallies a little bit. I mean, these aren't, they're not huge.
That's the same reason I'm expecting Bitcoin to get this automatic rally eventually, right? It's just, it can't go down for 6 weeks and not do anything.
Yeah. If you just go straight to death, then that's pretty tough. You know, that's not very good.
Right. Like OTE or whatever, the R&R on a short becomes increasingly lower. So
people are going to close shorts as they reach a certain point, and that's what is going to help the price go up. So I think
it's not the case currently. If you look at Bitcoin, longs are still rising on Bitfinex, shorts are still rising on Bitfinex. So we're not there yet, but
yeah. And some people look at that as an indicator, you know, like as long as there are longs on the book, then it can keep going down is essentially the idea.
Yeah.
But for some of these altcoins, like, you know, I'm looking at EOS right now, and on the daily, it hit like a 21 RSI, which is really low. At some point there is and can be relief. And if you time it just right, then you can still be making great Bitcoin relative gains on altcoins as long as you weren't in it for the downside of things. So it just kind of depends on what your situation was. But we're seeing this on quite a number of alts, and you know, some of them are taking the form of patterns and some are not. But it's certainly selective so far. Like I'm looking at Bancor, and I was hoping for one of these on Bancor. What I'm seeing is it's really only happening where we're finding volume showing up. Like it's the pattern alone or whatever is not really going to cut it right now. Mm-hmm. I bought a little bit of Bancor and I gave up on it around break even just because I was like, this isn't happening for me. On BAT, I did something similar and I basically had to give up on the position. And then the news came in of the Coinbase thing, and that's where what brought the volume, and it had a little relief rally. So I actually got out of it okay with a little profit. But this is very selective. So if you're timing this stuff well, it's one thing, but I don't think it's a very good time to just have a dribble out your Bitcoin to 10 or 15 different altcoins and wait until your returns come in, unless you're very patient. I think you may have to wait a while, basically.
There could be people selling alts to pay for taxes too. I don't know. Like, so it all depends.
Yeah. Or, you know, what I've been doing, even though some of these I've realized Bitcoin and certainly dollar relative losses,
that looks like a great chart right there. Arter.
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. That's why I brought it up. So I've been realizing some losses purely for the case of I want to be in fewer positions, even fewer than I had already reduced to. Because in the case of big bull market, big bear market, whatever we want to call it, like I want to be able to be responsive to that. And you can't do that when you're holding 10 different alts or 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not patient enough to let those ride out relative to Bitcoin. So even some that seemed bottomy, you know, I was like, okay, well, let's find the one that I want to, I feel comfortable being in that's bottomy, and let's go there. And I think a lot of these just need accumulation periods and whatnot. For sure. Yeah. Ardor is a great example because this had just this massive pump related to the NXT launch.
Go to the weekly real quick.
And then it completely 100% fully retraced. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely disgusting. Even now, as it's at the bottom, anytime it's gone up, those are getting sold into. People happy to escape their positions. So it's like, it's pretty gross, but it's in the zone, it's the historical buy zone. Like, this reminds me of Doge, you know, like,
for sure.
Yeah. Buy Doge at 20. In this case, sell it at 100. So in this case, you know, maybe you say, all right, we'll buy a coin like Ardor or something with a historical market cycle when it gets to whatever point, 3,000 sats or whatever that is. And then you wait until it pumps and then you sell it. And if you're approaching things like that, if you're being patient, then you might be able to find some moves in altcoins.
Yeah,
I was
XRP.
At,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I want to hear about XRP.
It's got the same thing. It's like there's a pattern. It's near lows. Is the pattern going to mean anything? Can it actually recover on some sort of support / chart breakout?
Yeah. I have a harder time with XRP because it's still got a ways to go before it gets to the depths that it got to last time. Because it went all the way down, right, to like 3.
Yeah, if you check Polo or something. Yeah, I mean, it can obviously just keep going down. But if it's on a yearly pivot, essentially, right now. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones like that.
I'm not going to hold any right here. I'm going to wait till something happens. But
yeah, I learned my lesson the hard way on Ripple last time, where half the pump was over and it got me back to break even. You know, like,
yeah.
So I think experience is really the best way to learn on some of these and discover what the opportunities are. But there are certainly opportunities out there on all platforms. I'm personally approaching things on a volume stance. So I'm looking for stuff with volume. The hard part about that is you don't always have the history. So I'm showing, I don't even know anything about this coin really.
I bought a little bit on Twitter the other day.
Yeah. It's IOST, the IOS token, Internet of Services or something like that. So this looks like a lot of depressed alts did last year where they came off the July cycle and it's like 6 months worth, except it's compressed down to like 1.5 months, but it looks so similar to some of what I saw. So I actually bought the tip of the pennant and, you know, it moved overnight for me. But these are lower time frame trades. Like I could probably sell this right now, claim my 10% and move on with life. I was a guest on the Crypto Street podcast, shout out to those guys. And I was talking to them about this and just like saying, you know, instead of trying to bank on some alt season or like what, you know, here's a big run on the way, I feel like right now is a good time to just act like a trader. And if 10% is all the market's going to give you, then take the 10%. And if you can get 30 or 40%, then take that. But be conscious of the market conditions and take what you can get. And I say stuff like that, and that's surely what's going to lead to like this full-blown, like crazy mega pump alt season, but maybe not. And if I get presented with an opportunity to earn that much more Bitcoin like people did in 2017 and other alt seasons, then that's great. In the meantime, though, I'm going to try to capitalize on what I can, and I'll take a small trade if the small trade is all I get. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think you either have to be in one extreme camp or the other, depending on what it is. So like ZRX, I've got a million years of patience for that one.
Yeah, same. For a project that I feel like is going to be around, I'm not too worried about it.
Right. It's like how I felt about XRP middle of the year last year. Even though I think XRP is trash and ZRX has a chance of being a thing. just like that idea of just holding it and letting it do its thing. I don't even care, you know,
right.
Cause I just think it's going to go so much higher. Right. But like Bitcoin, Ethereum type stuff, you know, I'm a little more of a trader where I'm taking what I can get on these trades because it's not trending. It's very rangy, very uncertain.
Poor Ethereum. We have not talked about Ethereum. We got to touch on that before we hop off the call. But man, is it wrecked.
Yeah, they must be close to 5,200 too.
I'm sure it is, but it is retraced. Ethereum retraced. It is right now just above the ace, the famous Josh Olsiewicz ascending triangle breakout call.
Well, technically, I called it like 300, but whatever.
Yeah, but it's still it. You know that it had this breakout retest and then mega moon versus the dollar. And it's all the way back down in that range now. Like this is basically a full retrace in my book.
What was I going to say? I think there's a div on the 12 hour. That's the other thing with all these altcoins. There's
high time frame divergences,
bullish divergences on almost all these. But that doesn't really mean anything until something actually reverses on something, you know, like, cause the div could just keep building and building. There's no bull div on the daily there, but, I think on the 12 hour, there's a div on Ethereum.
Yeah, but the 5,200 daily cross has not quite happened yet.
Okay.
Yeah. On the EMAs. So therefore, it certainly shouldn't have happened on the simple moving averages. But it's a nasty market out there.
Yeah, I think.
That's a nice bull div on the Ethereum 12 hour.
Yeah, there you go.
And the NEO daily is showing one similar to that. I actually bought a little NEO. On the daily to see if it'll give me a move. Probably won't, but I put a small bet on it maybe happening. I do think if I was looking at the type of signals for reversal, to me, because so most of the cloud stuff is super bearish, so you're basically looking for return to mean, which is not going to give you great timing necessarily, but your candle structures, and then I'd say your divergences. Maybe divergences confirmed by candle structures is probably what I'm looking at the most. Would you agree with that, or would you point to some other stuff as well?
No, I agree, because even the distance from the mean is a type of divergence in itself.
Yeah. So if you're far from the mean,
you know, there's that famous chart where like this, where there's just like div after div after div, and it just goes straight to zero. So like obviously that's possible. But
what was that? I want to know what asset that was.
It's some stock. I can't remember. Maybe it's Lehman Brothers. I don't actually remember. But it's I see it a lot. It's pretty funny. But divs are meaningless until like something actually does something. But
yeah,
it's encouraging if you're looking for a long and you're seeing all these prices return to order blocks that they were before they broke out, and there's divs and volumes declining. That's all encouraging as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. One of the most popular chartists on TradingView, his name is Magic Poop Cannon. classic crypto with the great usernames. And he was so bullish throughout most of the downtrend, and now he's like, crypto's going to zero. So like, that kind of encourages me that some people are capitulating, and he's just looking at, I guess he's looking at some of these patterns, or, you know, a 5,200 cross and calling a measured move or whatever, and saying like, well, the result of this pattern is that it doesn't exist anymore. And he was talking about how Bitcoin needs new technical innovation to succeed. And I'm just like, where were you in 2017? And like, how is what we're seeing now not bullish for Bitcoin, but what we saw in 2017 was? Stuff like that makes me bullish.
Mm-hmm. And hey, it's still in the pitchfork to 33K. So,
what's the update on 33K by July?
The R&R on the long is getting better and better as far as I'm concerned.
your username has not changed. When it does, if it does, it'll be noticed. So what's the status on potential usernames?
Well, I seem to be like the most wrong on anything I'm most confident about. So it's probably wrong. But I won't be changing my username until July. So
okay. So no, we get 33K by Moku, even if that means it's a 10X in a month.
Yeah. If you go to my TradingView profile, I posted an update to the, I can probably pull it up quicker. There's an update to the triangle. Let me just pull it up real quick.
So let's make a bet on the, or a call, whatever you want to call it, on the pennant before we leave, and then we'll sign off. Do you have a prediction for what we're going to see by my drawing? The absolute last day of the pennant is basically right after tax day, which is amazing all on its own.
I think we'll see resolution end of April, max.
End of April.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be like it just kind of putting itself out of the end of the pennant the way I've drawn it. I see your pitchfork here. So you say, Matt, resolution by end of April, you want to make a call one way or the other?
All the evidence is leading there. All of it. B-bands, 5200 cloud. So you can't look at that and say it's not going to break down.
This is a bullish eel pattern. Bullish
what pattern?
I said eel. This BitMEX 3-day chart looks like some kind of squirmy eel fish thing.
Sure.
So I think if we go full bear, we get a bull trap first is my bet. Bull trap meaning we could break up out of this pennant and still break down. To me, that is possibly the second most vicious. The first most vicious would be break down, then break up, then break down. So we wouldn't know that necessarily until like May. So my bet by the result of this pennant is actually, I'm going to say we break below it and then we break above it before the end of April. And we see maybe anywhere between 10.5 and 12.5 before or like by mid-May. And then maybe we go bear then, unless that's on massive momentum. Either way, I'm banking on we see a higher price before we break down into bear is my point.
That we I can go, agree with. I
we
can
go,
agree
with that, yeah. Go tap on that mean first.
Yeah.
That's my bet. All right, Josh, where can people keep up with you over the next couple weeks? And what do you have going on?
Twitter. Twitter's number one for me. YouTube.
You've put out some good videos. You've been experimenting with more Williams fractals and the alligator theory of trading.
Yeah, some low time frame stuff on stocks, FX. So check those out. Those are interesting.
I'll link to those. I've been at least turning them on and looking at them on some of my stock trades too. So it's a pretty cool strategy. I think it works well on those low time frame, early in the after the open type trades. If you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, you definitely have liquidity.
Yeah. All right. We will catch you guys next time. Go to ledgerstatus.com to catch this and more. Rate us on iTunes. Like us. Subscribe on YouTube. All that good stuff. It's good talking to you. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
I did a freaking gorgeous gold short, and I was fresh off my liquidations. So I got like really, I do need to share my screen with you. That's right. I got really, what do you call it?
Optimistic?
No, gun shy on trying to do anything. And it was pathetic. I accidentally set the stop inside the spread. But look at this trade. Look at this trade. This is the trade that I opened. It was perfection. Gold top.
And you cleared it close out, 1355?
It closed out immediately because I guess it warned me, but I missed it.
I see what happened. Okay.
My stop was inside their spread because their spread was like $1.50 or something. Mm. And I was doing this candle play saying if it goes above the prior hourly high, then stop out. And it was within the spread. I didn't realize it. So it instantly closed it. I got salty about it and didn't reopen it. And then it just died. I would be up so much on this. I probably would have closed it here, but still.
Yeah, I usually don't set initial stops past liquidation. I just let it happen.
You just let the liquidation happen, or you just choose to close manually?
Well, I let it like play out a little bit first. Otherwise, shit like that happens, and it's like, like the idea was totally right, but I got fucked on a classic 4x stop out move, you know?
Yeah, it made me pretty salty. Oh, you got 25% on that Amazon trade. Nicely done.
Yeah, it should have been more, but whatever.
Yeah, it happens. Now I want to go long on gold. Look at that. It's right on the trend line. I'm about to go long on gold while we're on the air.
It's a nice dragonfly inverted hammer thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to zoom out a little bit here.
I'd have to, what does it look like on the 4 hour? Daily looks like shit, but...
But this, it looks like a bull flag retest to me. Oh, I'm on crypto settings, but they should be similar.
Yeah, they're pretty similar. Nice. I like that. I need to save all that shit in mine.
The one.
It just doesn't look like it's anywhere I want to take a trade on it right now. That's just me.
I don't know.
The low time frames, hourly.
I like
that. I would wait. I would turn on the alligator on the hourly and just wait.
Screw that. I'm going long. Here we go. Are you copying? Okay.
I'm copying. My body's ready.
Oh, wait. That's Google, not gold. let's go 25.
See, this hourly just looks fucking wrecked. It needs like a day to just chill.
Oh, you mean because of how bad the hourly is?
It's to the point where it's so oversold it's bound for a bounce, but it's not like anything I would take a long on.
Yeah. I'm going to go long. Let's see if it falls by -1. That was 25%. It's 13.12. 13.12 is pretty... That's pretty well into my stop territory.
4 hour might close Dragonfly. 12 hour went right through that Kumo twist. Yep. I don't know. This chart's fucking wrecked. Just so sideways.
We're long. whatever. Monuments crumble.